episode one. So exciting.
First one.
Yeah. Haven't had a first episode in a while.
Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. So we'll have to keep reminding people of who's who because, you know.
I'm James.
I was going to mess with him. I'm Greg.
Oh. No, I'm definitely James. Nobody wants to be James but me.
James is the science-y one, and I'm the one-liners guy who has a lot of also just opinions. But yeah, when there's a lot of science, it's coming out of James's mouth. When there's complaining about the science or making fun of the science, it's usually Greg.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. So we thought we'd go high-level starting out and just talk about ingredients and interesting ingredients that we see out there, how we feel about them, and what they do yep. to the beer.
Cool things that I've experimented with and my very good homebrewing friends have trusted me to recommend to them that you would be like, really? You're going to put that in what? And holy balls, did it turn out awesome. Or, yeah, let's never speak of this again. Mm-hmm. This is just a bad idea.
Yeah, and there's so much stuff out there today. Of course, you walk through the beer aisle at any liquor store, and I wish they'd take everything that has some sort of breakfast cereal in it and put it off in a different section.
Like the breakfast cereal section?
Yeah, really, like the breakfast cereal section. Just
put it right next to the milk. I'm like, get over yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't get me started on the lactose section.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. But ingredients, and I think really, there's so many ways to go on this. You really can separate it into the novelty ingredients, I'll call them, which is anything that...
Skittles.
Yeah, Skittles. Skittles are a great example. Mm-hmm. So, why not use something with a color
gummy bears.
Of the color that's actually found in nature?
Yes. Then that's what we are going to concern ourselves with on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Although I'm sure there'll be some fun times where we'll talk about, you know, using breakfast cereal as an adjunct. Can you do it? Absolutely you can. Obviously, it's done all over the place, but it's done well in some places and really poorly in others. And why? We can talk about that later, much, much later. I'm not in the good headspace for that right now.
No. I'd rather pour a good beer into my cereal instead of milk than have cereal brewed into my beer. I'm just going to throw that out there.
And that's a T-shirt right there.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, it actually is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good T-shirt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I wanted to talk, I think, for our first one out here. We just keep it fun and keep it light, and we can dip our toes in the science if we want, just see where the conversation goes. But the novelty ingredients and then the natural or botanical ingredients, they don't have to be spices and herbs. They could be alternative grains as well. But basically non-traditional natural brewing ingredients as opposed to processed food ingredients or extracts. And you were just telling me a story earlier about Saison and some honey you had earlier.
I was out yesterday with a friend, and you know, I'm loving that we can get outside again and sit out and have a flight. I'm a big flight fan. I love trying everything. Even though you will hear me complain about lactose and other things, I am a very big fan of, okay, I know I love those three things on your menu, but I'm going to try the other four in little doses just because you never know. You absolutely never know. And it's a common complaint I have about the prevalence of IPAs in the store anymore. It's so hard to take a chance because there are so many of them. You don't know what to even try. So I love doing a flight. Mm-hmm. So yesterday I was somewhere I hadn't been in a long time, and they had a Saison on the menu. I'm usually not a Saison fan. I find them to be just harsh, I guess would be the term I would use. They hurt my mouth.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know how else to explain this. And you're the sensory guy. You'll help me diagnose that into what it actually means. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the doctor says, show me where it hurts. Saisons just don't work for me. And for those of you who don't know me, huge Porter fan. And actually right now my refrigerator is leaning way Porter heavy. I need to have a little more variety in there. I've got a strange collection right now of Porters and Berliner Weisses. I don't know why. That's a very odd
mix. That is very odd mix.
It's an odd mix, but that's where it is at the moment. So I'm not a Saison fan. So one of the things on their menu was a Saison with honey. And my friend who I was with said, oh, you know, that's the one I really want to try. I'm like, eh. So I didn't even get it in my first flight. And he was raving about it. So I tried it in the next one. And it was the best Saison I've ever had. And I don't know if it was the honey I don't know if they just did it right, and I've always had it wrong over the years, mm-hmm. but there was something so smooth about this, which is what's always been lacking to me. To me, that's always been something that I've just had to get down. I know I'm not doing a good job of explaining at all.
You just had to get it down, like you had to choke it down, or what do you mean?
Almost. It was, you know, we've all had a beer where we're going, eh, this is okay, I'll drink it, but I'm not ordering another. That's always how those have been for me. And this was like, wow, I would easily go for a pint of this next. It was quite good. It was quite tasty. It was something like 8.5% and didn't feel like it, which is always a danger.
Well, and so that's not a true Saison then.
Okay.
But because those true Saisons are true, I shouldn't say that's not fair. Historical Saisons are low alcohol, you know, 4%. And they're kind of farmhouse style. They're made with local ingredients, and that's what you make and feed the farmhands.
So
they could have anything in it. But they're usually made with a pale malt, Pilsner malt, and almost exclusively Saaz hops.
Hmm.
You can add specialty ingredients like spices and different things like that. Oftentimes, the yeast that is used, if it's a historical type Saison and you're using an open fermentation, you're going to get all sorts of funky stuff in there. That's going to kick up different acids and different esters and all sorts of stuff that no two Saisons are going to end up being the same. But I'm thinking the honey in it, because there's also unfermentable sugars in honey that add to mouthfeel, much like lactose adds to mouthfeel, that you hate lactose.
Hate it.
But these are, and they're not sugars necessarily in the honey that are doing that. But, and there's gobs and gobs of esters and flavor compounds in that honey that are probably adding to the overall body of that Saison that's shifting it to something that you like more. And given, if it's a true recipe type Saison, it's going to have like flaked wheat in it and some wheat malt. And you're a wheat guy, so that's why I'm like, I wonder why you don't like Saisons. But I'm thinking it's because maybe the ones that you've had in the past have been Americanized.
And you know, you say that, and I just pulled up the website. And we are, let's be open here, we're always very open about where we're drinking and what we're drinking. We don't shy away from it. So this is a place in Bethel, Connecticut called Broken Symmetry, which also does amazing Mexican food. But this, as I look at this, it is a Saison style ale, is how they refer to it. And it is an 8.3 ABV.
Yeah, it's way too high for a Saison. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, in American tradition, more is better. And you guys will, if you haven't quickly gotten to know me already, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to my beer. That doesn't mean I don't like experimentation, but come on. Don't disrespect the classics. That's where I go towards.
That's the next t-shirt.
Yeah. Don't respect the classics.
Oh, no. I'm into experimentation.
Oh, I'm into experimentation.
The other one's good, too. The classics thing is good, too. But
yeah. Historically, that Saison is very focused on the Belgian region, Belgian farmers, usually Belgian wild yeast strains, but kind of changed a little bit over time. Obviously, we're not using so much wild open fermented stuff now. Some brewers are exclusively doing that, but and maybe some home brewers have experimented with it. But the Saaz hop, the star of the Saison, where it's got this lemon zest, peppery, gingery thing going on. If you're not liking them because they're too cloy or they're too spicy for your palate, like sharp,
yeah,
it could be too astringent or too prickly. Too prickly on your delicate little mouth?
It's possible.
Whatever. You like what you like.
Yeah. You're allowed to like what you like. This one just worked for me for some reason. And of course, and with the high ABV, which was surprising. There's nothing on their website to tell me if it was in fact made with Saaz hops, which is disappointing. I like to see a little more information out there.
Well, if it's Americanized, it probably isn't. It's probably got some freaking stupid hop in it.
Something with a C.
Something with a C, right? Ugh. Anyway, so one of the cool things I like to do with my homebrewer friends is to talk about what's unique. That they're always looking for a new edge, right, to their beer. And what's the easy button? Well, the easy button is this new sexy hop, right? I'll just put more Mosaic in it. God, I remember when Mosaic hit the market. It's just like freaking everybody and their sister wanted as much Mosaic as they could get into their beers. They want it. And to me, it smells like rotten blueberries and sweaty feet. It's awful. And so I have a couple of my homebrew buddies that said, I want to do this. I want to do that. What do you got growing in the greenhouse. So when we were running Gorse Valley, we also had this big greenhouse. And in one corner, I'd always be, you know, putzing around with new herbals, botanicals and stuff that we could add to hot pellets to change their profile. And homebrewer says, what do you got? I'm like, well, let's just come in. Why don't you go poke around, see what you got? He's like, I really like this one. What is it? I said, that's called Kapoor Basil. Ooh. It's got a bit of the basil-y spiciness to it, but it's also got, if you don't like anise or black licorice, you would hate this thing. I love it. I happen to love those aromas. So that's what this tastes like. It tastes like a little bit of like sweet Genovese basil and like anise.
Wow. And those are two of my absolute favorites.
It was phenomenal. And so he's like, oh my God, I love this. Let's play with this. So I only had a couple of plants. So I let him go to seed, collected the seeds, grew a whole bunch of them and a bunch of plants. And he took all of it. And it's Don, Dr. Don. You might have Dr. Don on sometime. And he brewed an amber with it, of all things. And it was incredible. And it was so good that I fed it to the Siebel students when they came to the farm for their field trip that year. Like, you guys got to try this. This is awesome. And this is an example of what you could do with a botanical that's not hops that completely shines in that beer, but you don't need a lot of it. And it's something you could grow in your backyard.
See, and I think the amber is a perfect choice for that, because especially the anise, that sharpness of the black licorice, mm-hmm. I think that would go hand in hand perfectly with an amber. Oh, that I want that.
I wouldn't have picked that. And Don's like, we got to brew that again. I'm like, dude, I can't even get Kapoor Basil seeds. I don't know where to get them now. He's like, yeah, you're killing me. So if anybody's got any Kapoor Basil seeds out there, let me know where I can get them, because I want some.
Gee, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. That was a sleeper. But I've done all kinds of weird stuff. I've grown Jamaican sorrel, which is like a hibiscus flower. Well, obviously the Kapoor Basil, all sorts of basils. Mints, different types of mints, chocolate mint, cinnamon mint, things that just you wouldn't think of, because when you think of these herbs, you think, wow, they're very strong and they kick you right in the face. And why would you want that in your beer? You don't need a lot of it. Mm-hmm. You just need a little bit. So, which is where I think most people go wrong in homebrewing when they add botanicals or adjuncts or even extracts, is way, way, way too much. They go way overboard.
Yeah.
And less is definitely more. But these are not easy button kind of ingredients to play around with. You've got to use a gentle, steadied hand.
And yet very, very fun. And it comes back to what kind of a home brewer you are. You mentioned earlier on about not disrespecting the classics. If you are more of an experimental type, trying something like that, that's tons of fun. If to mm-hmm. you it's more about, I'm striving to make the perfect Pilsner. I mean, that's a labor of love right there.
It's one
of the hardest ones to do. I know I picked
it. It's the equivalent of training for the beer Olympics. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to be hardcore for that.
That's why I went there, because as you'll learn mm-hmm. about both of us, you know, IPAs are easy to mask by just dumping hops all over them. But a perfect Pilsner is, that's craft right there.
Ooh, yeah, that's that respect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we talk about you hear the phrase craft beer, and I call that craft. Craft beer does not have to mean how much different shit can I put in here and make something that's never been seen before.
Oh, God. Yeah. I don't. It drives me nuts. I'm not a big fan on, you know, Count Chocula stout, but I've had some, and you're like, you know what? I see what you did there. This is palatable. Not something I would want to see in a bottle on a shelf somewhere, but as a home brewer, an experimenter, great. I love the creativity, but it's not one of the ones I would reach for first. Because I'm a plant geek, I'm going to look to nature, right? I'm going to find another something cool out there that nobody's doing. Here's another one. Chicory. Mm-hmm. So if you folks don't know, roasted chicory root was used as a coffee substitute, certainly in the U.S. during the Civil War. Because you can chop it up, you know, dry it, grind it up, roast it. And it is very, very coffee-like.
And much less acidic.
Much less acidic. And so it's got less tannins in it. So you don't get that real astringency either. How awesome is that in a frickin' porter and a stout? It's incredible. We actually, in Madison every year we have this thing called the Great Taste of the Midwest, except for last freaking year. Thank you very much, COVID. It's one of the largest beer festivals in the U.S. And the day before, there's usually this little competition that brewers would get together and do. These are pro brewers. And it was sort of like, what's that Iron Chef, where it's like they don't know what their secret ingredient's going to be.
I think it's chopped when they do that.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't know what it is. But so that's what we did. And we said, okay, you guys are all, I had four brewers and I gave them basically a list of ingredients that I could possibly, that I might give them. I was going to give them one of that was on this list, and they had to figure out what beer they were going to put it in. And this was all because it was the day before. Obviously they're not brewing it, so this is all like cold extract. And Trevor, who's a fantastic gluten-free brewer in Madison, in a place called Alt Brew, he took his Copperhead Amber Ale and rested it on this roasted chicory, and it was flipping phenomenal. Hmm. Holy hell. I'm like, dude, this is way better than the base beer. Why don't you bottle this? I mean, come on. It's awesome. And he's made it again. So sad. I have to keep putting chicory in my glass and pour the beer in there. It was awesome. Same thing with like burdock root and all this other cool stuff that, you know what? For those of you, you know, who are not in urban metro areas, these are weeds growing around your yard, man. Go dig them up. We'll teach you how to process them.
So Backyard Brew Farm is not responsible if you just throw a bunch of shit from your yard into a beer and you end up poisoning someone.
This is true.
We do not advocate that.
That is correct. You got to be careful with the gypsum weed and some other particularly nasty foraged brewing items. Yeah,
no iocane powder, please. Nothing like that.
Yeah, okay.
Someone will get that joke.
Too prickly on your delicate little mouth.